This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning. The fallout continues from both the Jets and the Giants and the offseason moves that they have made. Odell Beckham Jr. officially announced as a Cleveland Brown. The trade, at least. Didn't have a press conference yet. There was a press conference, by the way, for Antonio Brown, and boy, did he act normal. That's interesting. The guy couldn't have been more cordial, couldn't have been nicer. Did he force himself out of Pittsburgh by acting crazy? That's one of the reasons why the Giants did what they did. And we didn't spend a lot of time on Le'Veon Bell yesterday because it was all about Odell Beckham Jr. But the Jets, their fans, even Rex Ryan came out talking about how excited he was. The landscape has changed for both the Jets and the Giants, and we haven't even gotten to the draft yet. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing good, and all the more reason why the New York Giants need to draft a young quarterback. They need to get the excitement back on their side of the ledger, and, you know, you're right. The fallout is amazing. You know, I did a couple of national interviews yesterday in regards to the New York take on things and my take on things in regards to Odell Beckham Jr. It's amazing to me how tone-deaf people are and don't realize the amount of just negativity that Odell Beckham Jr. Brought to the New York Giants. And in a lot of ways, it had to do with Eli Manning. He did not want to play with Eli Manning. And Eli Manning is going to be given a $5 million roster bonus tomorrow. I guess that has to be paid by Sunday, but I'm sure they'll just move the money over into his account on Friday, and he's going to be back. And they did not want to deal with Odell Beckham having to deal with Eli Manning. That's the thing that nobody's talking about. How about, you know, the disrespect that had been going on internally? And everybody knew it, and it's one of the reasons why I think Dave Gettleman had to do what he had to do. That, and of course, you know, seeing what Antonio Brown did to the Steelers. So at the end of the day, he had no choice. He was like totally boxed in. And I give him credit for getting what he got back for Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know if it will turn out to be, all pro players. I don't know if it will turn out to be that Jabril Peppers turns into the best safety in football. Who knows? But at the end of the day, when you are confronted with making a decision, and knowing that if you're going to go with Eli Manning, that Odell Beckham Jr. is not going to be happy about that, then you have to get rid of somebody. And that's why, you know, Noah Syndergaard should understand why Odell Beckham Jr. got, you know, basically traded away from the Giants. That's why all these, you know, celebrities out there that are like, I can't believe the Giants are clueless and all this other crap. Hey, at the end of the day, it's not about one player. It's truly about the team, and it's about the work that goes into trying to build the team. And he just required too much work from the coaching staff, from the front office to the owner, that he had to be removed. He had to. And either that or you had to remove Eli Manning and bring in a quarterback that he would have been happy with.
Right. Well, I think it goes beyond Eli Manning because, of course, we know he's not going to be here for five more years. He's definitely going to be the quarterback next year, as we have figured out by all these other moves that the Giants have made. But I think it's a combination. It's Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't want to go through the last year and the end of Eli Manning's career. And now you got to think about a young rookie quarterback and what that could do to that young rookie quarterback if Odell Beckham Jr. is complaining the way he's complaining now, and his value is as high as it is. Like, if you get to the point where the relationship is so torched like it was with Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, the Steelers, Kevin Colbert, Art Rooney II, you get to that point, and now Odell Beckham Jr. is a year older, or maybe he's dealing with another injury, whatever it is, then you're never going to be able to get back what you got back. So I don't think it was a decision between we're taking Eli Manning
over Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think it was as simple as that. I think it was, we now, at this stage of our organization where we're trying to rebuild, where we got 1 year of a really old quarterback and now we're going to move on at some point soon, we can't have this guy be a part of it because it's not going to work because he doesn't want to be a part of it.
Well, and he doesn't want to be a part of it because he doesn't want to play with Eli. So that's a big aspect to all of this, because I think when Dave Gettleman said we didn't sign him to trade him, all this latest stuff, including the Jay Glazer stuff, including the Quan Alexander comments, and everybody else out there knew that Odell Beckham Jr. did not want to be here. Everybody knew that. And everybody also saw what happened with Antonio Brown when he didn't want to be in Pittsburgh and forced himself to the Raiders and forced Pittsburgh to take much less than what the Giants got in return for Odell Beckham Jr. So when you look at it from a practical and mature standpoint and you understand what the Giants are doing and why they're doing it, you may not agree with them keeping Eli Manning. That's one thing. But there's no doubt that if you're going to keep Eli, then you can no longer keep Odell Beckham Jr. You just can't. Because internally and quietly, and the people that are around him and around that building over there knew, I think, that there was no way that he was going to be happy coming back here this year. And then on top of all that, all the stuff leading up to where we were prior to the trade, you know, whether it be the back page of the Post today where he's doing the whole dog thing against the Philadelphia Eagles, or, you know, going in to get fluids at halftime, or all just the crazy drama around the team. I think that you have to understand that Dave Gettleman had really no choice here. He had no... Look, I was the one that advocated signing him because I felt like he was a difference maker. And if the Giants were going to be all in for last year, which they were when Gettleman first got here, that's why they went out and signed the free agents that they signed, because they figured, we'll fix the offensive line, we'll add Saquon Barkley, we'll have an Odell Beckham Jr., we'll have what we believe the Browns are going to have this year. We'll have the fire power to go against anybody in the league. Well, unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way, and I think due in large part to the inability of the quarterback now, and that was part of the frustration for Odell Beckham Jr. And then I think what also fuels this side of this giant fan revolt in some respects, not everybody, but in some respects, is because of the excitement that's happening in Cleveland now. You know, so everybody's excited in Cleveland. You know, I did a show that out there in Cleveland yesterday. They're all excited. You know, they can't believe their good fortune to be able to put all of these guys on the field together offensively. And one of the Cleveland radio hosts said to me, what kind of advice would you give Baker Mayfield? I'd say, well, you know, there's only really one piece of advice I can get you. Just buckle up and you better be prepared. You better be prepared on the practice field. You better be prepared in the meeting rooms. And then when the game is on the line, you better come through. You know, and because if you don't, this group of guys that are around you will create a firestorm of drama that you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, I think he's got the personality, though, to be in line with them all the time. I think that they're going to be on the same page. He seems to be that type of guy that's going to make sure that he doesn't get stomped on and he gets the guys the ball and they're on the same page. I think he's going to be just fine. That team should be excited. I mean, how many years was it they've been the laughing stock of the NFL? They finally have an opportunity to be excited. Let them be excited.
Yeah, but I think that excitement is also fueling some of the, you know, the fact that there are some Giant fans that don't like this.
Well,
and that's why
that's why you have
the back page of the
short,
Daily News.
Right, but in the short term, though, you realize that 2019 for the Giants is probably going to be a really bad year. And at least if you had Odell Beckham Jr., you could sell yourself on thinking we got this offense. I mean, we got weapons all over the place and we're doing some other things. And, you know, maybe with this offensive line, the same crap that you heard last year. But Giants fans need to understand, like the Giants themselves, that they're not good enough to compete right now. And Dave Gettleman can say whatever he wants because he has to as a general manager. He can't say we're going into a rebuild mode. He can't say that. And he said you can win while also building a roster. He did say that. But I believe that they have finally signaled the fact and set off all the alarm bells in the organization that this is what's happening. They didn't do what the Rangers did when they sent out a memo to the fans that we're trading away everybody and going into a rebuild. They're not doing that. But that's what they're doing. It's just a matter of how they do it now. You've got one more year of Eli Manning under contract. I thought that they would restructure his deal. It doesn't look like they're going to restructure his deal. You've got one more year, $23.2 million. Then he's off the books. They're not going to re-sign Eli Manning. They're not going to give him another contract extension. Where you go from here is the next question that's answered. And if you don't draft a quarterback in the first round this year, and you're thinking next year, then you got to bring in another guy to bridge the gap, because do you want that guy to start right away? Or maybe, just maybe, and I don't want to start hysteria like one article did about this guy's wife wanting to live in New York, but maybe, just maybe, you know who also is an unrestricted free agent in 2020, and you know who's going to have $25, $30 million to spend on that position when Eli Manning comes off the books, is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has not gotten a contract extension by the Seattle Seahawks. He is also an unrestricted free agent. It lines up. You're already hearing the rumors about Sierra wanting to live here. Maybe that's the plan. That's just speculation. But when Dave Gettleman says he has a plan, there's only a couple ways you can go to have to go get a quarterback. You can either trade for one, you can draft one, or you could sign one. They're not going to trade for one, because I don't think there's anybody out there they can trade for. There might be one big-name quarterback available in free agency, and we know that the draft is coming up. So you're going to have a really, really good idea as to what the next step of this plan is from Dave Gettleman and the Giants as to how they handle the draft.
Yeah, I don't see Russell Wilson being a part of this. I think in order to get moving forward here and doing the Kansas City model, since that seems to be the way to describe this, is that you got to draft a young quarterback this year. You have to. You have to, and that guy's going to have to sit, and he's going to have to learn, and then Eli will move on next year, and that kid will take over. That's the Kansas City model. That's if that's what everybody's talking about and that's what they want to do, then there's only one way to do that, and that is with one of these two first-round draft picks. They're gonna draft one of these young quarterbacks. Who it is, I don't know. I would hope that it's going to be Dwayne Haskins. But at the end of the day, if you want a future for your franchise, much like the Jets have now because of what they did last year, and look at where the Jets are right now. Look where they were this time last year. Everybody was saying the same thing. The Jets are terrible. They have a horrendous they have a horrendous roster. They're going to be awful for the next 10 years, blah, blah, the whole thing. They draft the young quarterback. They make the trade to go up and get him. He turns out to be pretty good last year. Jet fans are excited about it. And now all of a sudden you add Le'Veon Bell, you add Assembly, you add C.J. Mosley, you add Jamison Crowder. You've added some really good, solid football players to your football team. And on top of that, you take a look at their home schedule this year. I'm jacked if I'm a Jet fan. I feel great about this. Now, hopefully everything works out. Normally, you know, there's going to be a free agent or two that does not pan out, and somebody's going to get hurt. We all know that. You just hope that it's not these key guys. But I just think that the Giants are right where the Jets were last year right now.
It's a little bit messier because they don't have as much cap space. You remember that was
but
one thing.
But they'll have it next year. They'll have it next year.
They will, right? They will. But I mean, that's the one big difference right now heading into this year. And also, the Jets didn't really deal with a big PR mess like this, which shouldn't be a mess, but their fans are really, really
some fans are.
The younger
fans
are. The younger fans, I would say. I think it's a generational thing, to be honest with you. The older Giant fan that is used to the Saquon Barkley way of things, even though it's weird to say because he's just finished his rookie season, but you know, he's not dancing in the end zone. He's handing the ball back to the ref. That type of player is just the best in the older Giant fan's eyes. The younger Giant fan loves everything about Odell Beckham Jr. dancing on his Instagram story and all the stuff that he does and Fashion Week, and look at him, and he's ours. He's a superstar that is ours. I mean, I think that younger Giant fan, who also used Odell Beckham Jr. as a source of excitement in a year, or heading into a year where you didn't have a lot of it, it's now been completely sucked away, right? Think about it. You got nothing. There's nothing to be excited about in 2019 unless you draft a young quarterback.
That's right.
If they don't, then this team, like, no one's going to care.
You know, the only thing I would say to the younger Giant fan in this regard is, you know, first of all, he missed the final four games of last year, and some would tell you that there are at least two of them that he should have played in, and he didn't. He quit on your team. He's also basically telling people that he doesn't want to play with the two-time Super Bowl MVP that brought your team two championships. And by the way, the only playoff game you played in, the first ball thrown to you, you dropped it, and then you had a chance to make a good catch for a touchdown, and you dropped that one. You know, because you went on a boat before the week of that practice. I guess that's all great. That's all fine, and you want to forget about it. But, you know, this guy that's supposedly so great when it mattered most, guess what? It didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with him that Eli Manning is probably holding him back a little bit. However, it's hard for him to say that with his resume.
He can't say it. He can't say it, and Gettleman can't allow him to say it. And Gettleman can't allow, you know, his small-minded people around him to allow them to create that narrative that the quarterback can't play. So Gettleman's protecting a franchise legend from a guy who has created so much drama and so much negativity around the team, from the coaching staff to the front office to the owner, that they had to do something. So I will continue to say that I understand why Dave Gettleman did this. And I also understand why, if you're a Cleveland Brown fan, you're excited about it.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that was one of the main things we kept repeating yesterday, was this was a good trade for both sides in organizations that are in different places right now. I mean, if the Giants had the same situation that the Browns have, with a young quarterback, a team that hasn't been good forever, Odell Beckham Jr.'s best friend and his former college wide receiver coach on the staff, it makes a hell of a lot of sense to trade all that stuff to the Giants to go get Odell Beckham Jr. It makes sense from their standpoint, but the Giants had to get rid of him. I'm just concerned a little bit still with what the ideas are from John Mara, Dave Gettleman, Pat Shurmur on who the next quarterback's going to
be. Well, we won't know that until draft day. We will not know that until draft day. We will not know that. Maybe we'll find it out if they do what Maccagnan did last year and trade up, and then we'll have a better and clearer understanding of who they're trying to add. But at this point right now, all of these moves we will react to individually. And then hopefully, you know, once the draft gets here and the free agency signing period is over with, and they're adding and bringing guys in and out, then we can basically make an assessment as to what we think is going to happen this year.
Giants going to draft Haskins, Paul?
I don't think so.
Oh. You know what? We need to get Paul on one more time at some point so I can ask him if they're going to sign Russell Wilson. So then we can have that as part of this whole deal. Giants going to sign Russell Wilson, Paul? See what he says there. If he gives you an I don't think so or a maybe, that might cause a lot of hysteria.
Yeah, I don't see the Giants adding a $30 million a year quarterback to the mix.
Oh, I mean, why would they do that? They're only paying a 38-year-old below average quarterback $23 million. They're only doing that. Why would they sign a guy who's, I don't know, one of the best quarterbacks in football for $30 million when they finally have the cap space?
Man, when you think
why
about,
would they do that?
When you think about the dead cap money that the Giants now have,
it's crazy,
and how much money they spent over the last 3 years on players that unfortunately have not lived up to those contracts, it's nuts. I mean, it's not like because they haven't spent money. Again, it's not as bad as the Knicks. But again, they spent the money on the wrong guys. Now they spent the enormity of the money that they spent, they just spent on the wrong guys.
Yeah, and in the first year that all those contracts were doled out for those defensive guys, ended up working out because they went to the playoffs 11-5 year. But after that, it's been a mess. But, you know, if the Giants don't draft, and I know we're in it every day, so we have the bias, the local bias of it. But if the Giants don't draft a young quarterback.
Are the Giants going to draft a quarterback, Paul?
No. In the first round, they will be the single most boring football team heading into next season. Right. No, I thought about this yesterday. Every other team has got something to be excited about, whether it's a new coach, new quarterback, whatever it may be, free agent class. The Giants, if they come back without drafting a quarterback in the first round, will be the least exciting team in the NFL, hands down. You traded away Odell Beckham Jr., you have Eli Manning at 38 years old.
The Redskins are boring.
The Redskins, to me, are probably going to go out and get a young quarterback somehow.
Well, yeah, they'll be one of the teams that will be on that list to get
right.
one, yes.
And they'll get one. And guess what? That makes them more exciting than the Giants. So, when people talk about the Jets stealing the headlines, it's not just us talking about that. I mean, it's all over the papers today about the excitement level and teams going in different directions. Just see how much worse that gets if the Giants take an offensive lineman at 6 and a defensive lineman at 17 and don't address the quarterback position again in the first round.
Tell you what,
two first-round picks.
What will the Giant fans do if Odell Beckham Jr. goes for 1,300 yards, 15 touchdowns, and say 110 catches.
Well, if the
you know what I mean? I mean that, but again, you know, it's an environment where I would think the motivation for Odell Beckham Jr. to stay healthy and to be a part of things and to be a part of a winning culture with a young quarterback, a vibrant quarterback, an exciting quarterback, that will bring the best, that should bring out the best in Odell Beckham Jr., along with being with his buddy Jarvis and also having that wide receiver coach who coached them down at LSU there as well. So the environment is there for Odell Beckham Jr. to actually be that superstar player.
And I think a lot of Giant fans understand that that's a real possibility. And I think that it becomes extra frustrating if you still don't have a plan as to who is going to replace Eli Manning, because then it looks like, even though it's not true, it looks like the Giants chose Eli Manning over Odell Beckham Jr. for longer than just a year. That's what it's going to seem like. So at that point, yeah, it's going to be really frustrating. But if you draft Dwayne Haskins and Odell Beckham Jr. goes off and does whatever he does, and Dwayne Haskins gets into a couple games at the end of the season,
Giants going to draft Haskins, Paul?
I don't think so.
if they do, then something.
That went from a no to an I don't think so.
Well, that was, you got to remember what happened in between. The Odell Beckham Jr. trade happened in between. So Paul had no idea. He was blindsided by that. It's Paul DeTino, our WFA and Giants beat reporter, who we only ask.
But how can anybody
one
be
question
so,
a day
my,
to?
But my thing, I'm not just talking about Paul specifically. I'm just like, why is everybody so like shocked that the Giants would do this?
Well, because you don't see guys at that. Now, trust me, I'm with you. I know why they traded on my. It was a good idea, but I'm giving you. You're asking me, so I'm playing devil's advocate. Because sometimes when we do this, you start jumping down my throat like it's my opinion.
Your throat, say,
but here's devil's advocate. Ready? That? It's because you don't usually see guys that talented, that young still, who just signed a long-term contract where you thought that he was going to have his prime years in that uniform get traded. That is not a regular occurrence,
especially
in
the environment of the Antonio Brown issue that had taken place over the last 3 months.
Right.
You played yourself.
I mean, he could not have been more normal, by the way, Antonio Brown yesterday. Showed up at Derek Carr's house. He just knocked on the door. They were hugging. They went out and played catch in a park.
But no, for real.
So, I mean, it was an act, I think. It was an act. Maybe he played me, too. I was fully convinced he was nuts. Well, I don't know. For one day, he got it together. We'll see how long that lasts. But for one day, he was old Antonio Brown.
Well, think about the AFC and think about just the arms race that is going on. I mean, between the Raiders, the Browns, the Jets.
The Raiders are still going to stink, though. I mean, they're not good enough. I mean, Tyrell Williams and Antonio Brown with Derek Carr, is that really going to put them over the top in that division?
By the way, how much did Tyrell Williams get?
He got, I think, $11 million a year for 4 years, for 44, I think. So, still an overpay. Some people are saying 13, 14. He didn't get up there, but I think was an overpay. But, hey, I mean, he within the division, too. So the Raiders are saying we took away a weapon from someone within the division.
That's another team, the LA Chargers, that nobody's talking about. You know, that was one of the better offensive teams last year as well.